My favorite thing to do is talk to you. Listening to how your life has been impacted and how you have grown in your organizational journey is so inspiring. Over the years, I have really internalized for myself and verbalized to you that perfect is not a thing. It does not exist. I have replaced the word perfect in my vocabulary with the word excellent. I am not a perfectionist. I am a person of excellence. I invite you to come to share your story about how you are being transformed from a reactive to a proactive person, from an overwhelmed homeowner to one who is now in more control of your time and your spaces. We all want to hear what more grace feels like in your life with your unique circumstances. Do not wait until you are a perfectly organized person. Remember, perfect does not exist. I want to hear from you. Please sign up to join me for a Wednesday podcast interview at organize365.com/Wednesday. Dawn, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Hello, I'm very excited to be here with you today.
I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. Can you start by telling us how you first found Organize 365?
All right. So I think it was back in 2019. I was taking an online class and I got forwarded to a podcast with Angela Watson, Truth for Teaching. And the class I was taking was actually on time management.
Oh.
Yes. And so it was actually the podcast, it was either a podcast, I think, of yours, was Using Your Planner for Productivity that I listened to. And I had actually had to reference it in my write-up for one of my assignments. And that was actually where I was introduced to podcasts in general. I had never listened to them before.
Oh, wow. So you were using podcast as content for your coursework?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it was a fully online class. It wasn't Zoom. It was all just online. You had to listen to assignments. And I had never done that before. Not a big fan of online classes, but it did introduce me to podcasts. And it's just been a rabbit hole from there.
Oh my goodness. That's so interesting. Okay. So tell us about the people who live with you in your household.
All right. So it's myself, my husband, Ray. See, we've been married for 22 years. My oldest is off in college in Boston. They are 20 and my youngest is 18 and a senior in high school. So it's wow. Us and then a dog and we now have 12 chickens. So we're getting rid of
trying
children.
Not to become an empty nester. So you're yes. Just adding feathered friends. What are you yes. Doing?
Exactly. So yeah, I said that we moved about a year ago out into the country, as we call it, and we decided to do a little homesteading, I guess.
Neat. So I'm thinking that maybe you're a teacher.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So I am I'm a reading specialist. I've been a reading specialist in my district for about 17 years. Wow. I work at the K-2 level. So before that, I was a second grade teacher and a third grade classroom teacher. So I've been doing it for a while and I absolutely love it. It's a little crazy at times, but reading is my true passion, both at my job and at home. So
you have libraries upon libraries upon libraries upon libraries.
I do. Yeah. Actually, that was when we decided to move. I had to leave my library. My husband built me a library, which was my kids' playroom. And when they grew up, he built me a library, custom built, and I had over 3,000 books cataloged.
Yeah, I would think.
On an app. And when we decided to move, that was the one thing I didn't want to give up, but I did. And they are now boxed in the crawl space in our house until he can build me a new one because our house is designed a little differently. So,
I mean, do you have pictures of the old library?
I do. Yeah.
It's going to break your heart to look them up because you're going to have to email them to me.
Yeah, I will have to email
That is you. Like
yeah.
My dream. I just had the two custom bookshelves put into our living room. They're full. And so I said to my husband, I said, okay, now we're going to build them out in the dining room. He goes, for what? I'm like, for books. I need more books. He's like, how many books can you need? Because he has like three. I'm like, a lot. I need like rooms and room because I highlight my books.
And then I go back to look at them. And I had over 1,000 books when I was a preschool kindergarten teacher for our children. And now with Grayson, I'm like, oh, but it's April, so I need this book. And it's September, so I need the apples book. And where's the teddy bear book thematic unit that I created? Like, it's all gone. But I need all the books again.
You know, yeah, I couldn't. I tried to get rid of some. And people would always say, like, have you read these all? And I'll be honest, I didn't read them all. They were a lot of to be read. Sorry, my dog is itchy. So he's a little thumpy over here. So I had all the books from my classroom. My parents are big savers. So I had all the books from my childhood. So I had kind of a kids section. I had my fiction section and the nonfiction section. I had all my teaching books. Yeah, it was three walls of books and my scrapbooks. He had made me a special shelf that could hold heavier items.
Yeah.
Yes. So I had all my scrapbooks on one wall. Yeah, it was amazing. And of course, you know, he still laughs at me because he was like, do you want adjustable shelving? It will be more expensive and take longer. Will you need it? And I said, absolutely. How many times did I actually adjust the shelves? None.
I've already adjusted mine. I do need that. And I've already adjusted mine. I will say that all of the books on my bookshelf that you see, I have read at least once. Most of those books I've read multiple times. And I have the audio of most of them as well. There are two almanacs I have that I haven't gotten all the way through, but trust me, I will eventually. And I don't keep any fiction books. So like if I read a fiction book, I let it go. It's only nonfiction books I keep. Like, yeah, I'm a true, like, it's a big old nerd library in there with like 12 kids books. Like it is it is my research library. Like, oh my goodness.
That's awesome.
I'm building a library in an upstairs closet for everything related to the PhD I'm getting and the research I'm doing there so that all that is in one location. Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm clearly not a minimalist when it comes to books. And I kind of regret having given away some of my books. And now I'm trying to track down one that I highlighted in. And I found out that you could buy it in the new version. I'm going to buy the new version for the person so I can get my old one back.
Oh, so here, I've got my favorite quote. So Anna Quinlan, so she writes fiction, but she's written some, I guess, autobiographical stuff. So a quote that I have, this is at the end of my email tag for my teaching email. It says, I would be most content if my children grew up to be the kind of people who think decorating consists mostly of building enough bookshelves.
I am that person, that and displaying artwork. So if it's not a photograph or something that my kids have drawn, it's a book. That's the only way we decorate our entire house.
Yeah. And my classroom is the same way. So I don't have, you know, a regular classroom. I have the reading room and I share it with some instructional assistance as well, but it's all books because I house all the reading resources for the staff. So of course, when the students come down to my room, they're like, are these all your books? And it's a library. And I said, well, it's the teacher's library, you know? So I'm surrounded by books. And I will say my kids love books, maybe because I surrounded them with it, but we just love books.
Well, I love the gift that Carnegie gave to the world were the libraries and Rockefeller, the libraries that they created. And, you know, books are a way for you to, at a very low expense, like from a library, free. But even if you have to pay for a book, it's, you know, usually less than $20. Like you get so much wisdom and knowledge from books. And there are so many people who accredit who they are today to the books that they have read. And the information that they were able to glean for free or at a very low dollar. I have always had a book budget. Let's be serious. I don't even have a budget. I've always spent money on books, even when we didn't have a lot of money. And my husband was like, when is this book budget going to go down? And I'm like, never. And now if I can get the book, I'm just like, I don't even think about it. Just like purchase. Now I will give everyone my 24-hour rule because I had to learn to do this. I used to be like you, and I would have books on my bookshelf that I had bought and I wanted to read, but I hadn't read yet. So my 24-hour rule is this. If I want to start reading the book within 24 hours and it's a physical book, I'm allowed to buy it. If I want to start listening to an audiobook, I have to be ready to press play before I'm allowed to use a credit. Because what would happen is in the morning, I was like, oh, that sounds like a good book, or I'd hear it on a podcast. And so I'd use my credit and I'd download it. And then like a day or two later, when I'm ready to go into Audible, I'd be like, I'm not feeling that one. I already paid for it. So now I have to really want to have that book. Or if I'm listening to an audiobook, it's really meaty. Like there's one that I'm listening to right now by a medical doctor who is talking about basically intuition and how it has medically been proven. I'm like, oh, I'm going to need that in the dissertation. So I'm listening to it. I'm getting the knowledge, but I paused the audiobook, set it to the side, bought the physical book. So now I'm going to go through and highlight, and I'll continue listening to it as an audiobook. But when I get home, I'll go highlight or dovetail those pages so that I can use that for the dissertation. So anyway,
nice.
Probably more information than people want to know about books, but I've gone from, I tried to do the Kindle e-reader thing. Like I have some, it just does not, I need either an audio or a physical book. The e-books, they just don't work for me.
Yeah. And I'm not an e-reader. I do audiobooks, mostly fiction. But mm-hmm. I will often have the hard copy also. I have a tendency not to buy fiction books because I consume them too fast. I'm a big shopper of library book sales. Those are my favorite. But nonfiction books, I will like to actually have the physical copy to keep. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just building your own knowledge library. I love going through older homes that were built, you know, in olden days. I mean, think back to like when you go to presidential homes, when you hear about Benjamin Franklin, when you go through the historical homes in your area, they all had libraries because that was how you got information. That was the internet of the day.
Right.
Like, and if you had books, like you had money because you prioritized your education. So anyways, I'm a little passionate about the book topic. So, Dawn, you were in a class for time management. You were obviously in Angela Watson's podcast. So you're a teacher. You seem to be productivity and organizationally focused.
Yes.
Have you always been an organized person and you were just trying to get more information? Or is there a specific thing that you were working on? Oh, no. So how did you rabbit trail over to Organize 365? Tell us all about it.
I have always been organizationally challenged. I grew up in a very, I don't want to say hoarded, but very crowded home. My parents never gave anything away. My mother is one of nine and my father is one of four, but they both grew up with little, you know, parents who lived through the Depression. And, you know, my grandmother used to sew pockets onto her apron when, you know, it was falling apart. So they just never got rid of anything. They still don't get rid of anything. So I was always on that quest, I think, to become more organized and cleaner. And I just didn't know how to do it. And I say my husband grew up in what I call a white glove house where, you know, his mom was a constant cleaner and wouldn't let him inside after she cleaned because he would mess up the house. So our clutter thresholds really clash. Yes. So it's always been kind of a big bone of contention between us. I've definitely increased my standards and his have decreased.
Perfect.
So we've definitely found a balance. You know, we do have a house cleaner. That took me a really long time to get over the guilt of that, I'm not taking care of my own house, but I don't like it. I don't like cleaning. My mother didn't like cleaning. I never had to clean. I used to beg my parents to give me chores, but I wasn't taught how to do that stuff. I mean, and my parents are wonderful. Like, I mean, they were constantly playing with us, but cleaning was not a priority. You know, my mother was the oldest of her siblings and her mother passed away very young. So she had to take on that role. So I think when she went off and got married, like she didn't want to do that. I've constantly always been on a quest. I remember, you know, reading Julie Morgenstern books on organizing.
Yes.
I tried Fly Lady. I mean, I think I've probably read every organizing book. I'm a big binge watcher of Hoarders and
I can't.
Yeah,
I can't watch that.
Well, I need that stuff to keep me in check. I mean, it's sad and it's depressing, but I just sometimes feel like this is got to keep things in check here. And I'm nearing 50 and I'm finally getting things in order. And I think when we moved last year, we got rid of a lot of stuff But I still brought a lot of stuff here. But I kind of have, we have an unfinished basement, which our previous home had a finished basement. But we had a big attic, but it was hard to get to. Like it was, you know, 100 degrees in the summer. So I now have a space where I can go through things easily, you know, a place where I can sort. So that's definitely helped here. But yeah, so that's kind of what led me to you. And your methods just work for me.
So 2019, pre-pandemic, you find Organize 365. That's how we know, like, what year was it? Well, let me see. Had we had the pandemic or not? And now, you guys, it's like 3 years ago. Like, time goes really fast in hindsight, not while we lived through it, but, you know, in hindsight, like, wow, that was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So you found Organize 365 and you tried all the things. And this really worked for you. So what time of year was it? What worked first? How did this work for you?
You know, I don't remember exactly what time of year it was. I mean, the pandemic was what, March of 2020? Okay. And I remember I had taken two classes back to back. I had taken a class on dyslexia and then a time management class. So it was probably around spring. And I think that was when I was home and, you know, the districts weren't sure what to do. It was like, do we do online? Like nobody could figure anything out. So that was when I really started, I think, getting deep into podcasts and having the time actually to be home and have the energy to go through stuff. Yeah. So, and I tend to do a lot more over the summer when I have time, or vacations. I'm not getting much done this week, but yeah, it's tiring when I get home. I don't want to do anything. I'm a big list maker. I will say, you know, I do my planning sheet. I have to put it on pink so I don't lose it. I did lose my list last week. Can't find it. I think I left it at school. but I am a big list maker, but sometimes I don't follow through. I have great intentions, but I call that, you know, what you call that passive organizing. I'm doing a lot in my head, taking it all in, not always, you know, acting it out.
So you do the Sunday basket. How was implementing the Sunday basket? How did that work for you?
So it's funny because, you know, I am a piler. May not surprise you. I'm a visual. So I do listen to that, the Clutterbug, Cass Arson, and I think I'm a B, right? I'm visual, but I'm detail oriented. So, you know, I have to keep things out and it drives my husband crazy.
I'm a B too.
Yeah. Get your papers off the island. Yes. Like your papers are all, you know, I don't want to walk in the house and that's the first thing I see. Because our old house, you walked right in the kitchen. This house, you don't. I actually have a little mud room. So, and I've got a nice little place for my Sunday basket. But previously I had been using a basket. I had like this 3-tier basket drawer thing. But they felt hidden in there. And, you know, the papers were horizontal. And using the Sunday basket and flipping them up, I can't tell you what a game changer that was, just to have the papers laid up differently because it was out of the way, but I could still see that the things were in there. Yes. And if I needed to find something quickly, I didn't have to take everything out, whereas the previous basket, everything was stacked on top of each other. So if I needed something, everything had to come out. Whereas with my Sunday basket, it's a little more organized and I can flip through things.
So and do the colors help you?
Yes. Yeah, I think they do because I do use the 2.0 pockets. You know, right now we have a college pocket for my daughter. And, you know, when we moved in, I had like the new home pocket where I had, you know, all the things for the new house. And so those definitely help. Sometimes, you know, the 1.0 pockets, I kind of forget what they are. And but I do use those. So the colors, I'm trying to be better with colors. So that definitely helped. And I mean, my Sunday basket doesn't take long for me to go through now. It's really very quick. I've done, you know, the live on Sunday nights. Sunday nights are hard because being a teacher, that's when, you know, usually 7 o'clock, it's like, oh my gosh, I have a test report to write. I've got to do this. Yeah. I got to do my lesson plans and get ready for the week. So Sunday night doesn't always work for me. And so I'll say, okay, I'll do it Monday or then I'll do it Tuesday, but it gets done.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to make the shift from the horizontal piles into the vertical Sunday basket piles? Like to get used to using that system, how long did that take you?
It wasn't on at all.
No?
Like, okay. No, it wasn't. It was, I would say within a few weeks. it was easy to just change that. And yeah. And I do have, I have one, I think it's a blue pocket. You know, I'm still transitioning to the binders. I do have the binders. You know, I had all my things in file. I had like file bins. So I had everything organized in bins, but I would never actually have time to put things in the bins. So I would just have a big stack of yes. to be filed. Yes. So I do have a blue slash pocket, you know, as I pay things, it says to add to binders. So I'm slowly mm-hmm. adding things to binders and getting rid of a lot of things that I really don't need to hold on to.
And how does it feel to have, because mostly this is like your paper. Like, yeah. how does it feel to have this paper more organized?
It feels great. I know where things are. You know, my husband will be like, oh, can you find this? And I can find it really quickly. So that's good. Except my to-do yeah. list this week. I can't find that. But but for the most part,
the to-do, you know, list.
Like taxes this year were so easy. Usually it's this, you know, I control all the paperwork in the house, but my husband is the one who actually goes to the tax guy. And this year I had a green slash pocket, I think last year too. And I just put everything in there. And usually it's like, okay, we have to sit down and we've got to do all this. And yes. you need to find me this and this. Well, he didn't need to do that this year because everything was in the green slash pocket.
Wow. So. And that's when I think you're just like, so you're doing a lot of things. Like you're managing a household, you're a teacher, you're a wife, you're a homeowner, like you're doing all of these things. But when our family asks us to do something, or we need to remember something and we forget, then we feel like, oh, you know, like that one little thing they ask for, the thing that we forget, we start to go like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing this right. So it must mean that all these other things I'm not doing right as well. Whereas when you're able to find the paper someone wants when they need it, you just feel like a boss. Like it's just like an amazing feeling. And I didn't realize how much weight the paper is on the American homeowner. Like there's just like this dread of like, someone's going to ask us about something important and we're not going to know where to find it, or we might not have it, or it's going to take us all day or all week to find this thing. And when you stop having to find those random papers, it is like this huge weight has lifted off. At least that's how I felt.
Oh, absolutely. And even, you know, if I'm not home and somebody needs something, yes. I can direct them to it very easily. You know, people in my family know where my Sunday basket is and that they just drop things in it. They're not allowed to take anything out, but right? they know that they just put receipts in there, put anything in there, and I'll deal with it. So.
Yeah, that being able to direct people while you're continuing to drive wherever you're going versus turning the car around. Like we've all had the turn the car around experience where like, okay, it's just going to be faster if I go home and do it. Or it could be in one of like 15 different places and I can't possibly have my family go in 15 different places. One, because they don't have the patience for that. But two, they're going to mess up 15 different places and I can't handle putting back together 15 different places. So I'll just stop doing whatever I was going to do, go home, get them this thing. And then either sometimes the opportunity for whatever you were going to personally do is then lost permanently, or it's just set you back multiple hours in order to get a piece of paper for someone.
Right.
Because sometimes they can wait, but sometimes they can't wait. And sometimes even if they can wait, they don't want to wait.
Exactly.
And I was like, you know what? The cost benefit analysis, I'm going to reorient my day so that I don't have to deal with the fallout of not knowing where this one paper is. All right. Is there another organizing story that you would like to share about your organizing journey?
Well, actually, I did my bathroom closet yesterday. And again, we haven't touched a lot of things since we moved in. And so I think, you know, these bathroom cabinets that were closets we have are nice because we just had a hall closet before, but I kind of just threw everything in and they're really deep. So my daughter and I went to Marshall's Home Goods yesterday and I spent way too much money on clear bins. And she was like, this is ridiculous. Why are you buying so many bins? I'm like, well, I'll return whatever doesn't work. But I was like, you know, I need to see things because I had covered bins and I had everything sorted by type. So, you know, I had backup deodorant, razors, you know, things sorted that way, you know. So every morning though, if my husband needed something, I would hear all this clattering in the closet because he couldn't find anything. He'd be like, do we have any backup deodorant? And I, you know, then he doesn't put it back together. So like, this isn't working. So I decided yesterday when I pulled everything out, threw everything on my bed, and I said, I'm going to make him his own bin. Now, I had three packages of razors because I kept three 12 packs of razors because I kept buying them because I couldn't find them.
I know.
So I said, he needs four things, you know, his soap, his deodorant, his razors, and his hair gel. So yep. I gave him his own bin. I was like, you know what? All the deodorant doesn't have to be together. And I made him his own bin. So now he only has to pull out one thing when he needs something. Of course, this morning there was no toothpaste. I realized we were out of toothpaste. So,
I will give you a couple of bathroom organizing tips, and they're all based on school supply organizers. So, you know, those drawers that perfectly hold an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, and there are three plastic drawers that you pull out, the Sterilite, it's like an 8 by 8 cube, and then it's like 12 inches deep. And so each drawer, you can actually, sometimes you can pull the drawer all the way out. Sometimes it gets caught, but you could put like different paper in them. And in school, we put like different Ditto sheets and stuff in there. So I have those all over the place, but I have those in our bathroom. One is razors and shave gel, and actual shave gel will fit in those drawers. And the other one is teeth. So it's like the little, you know, any kind of floss, non-used toothbrushes, and toothpaste. And then the bottom one is bandages, like Band-Aids. Because those are things that fall over and they're hard and they're little, whatever. So when I first did this, same as you, I had like 48 razor blades for Greg. Like he has one where you replace the razor blade and he's like, you never need to buy razor blades again. We just ran out 2 weeks ago. And I think that was like 2 years ago I put this in. So that is great. So like anybody who needs anything teeth related, they come in and like when I open that up and I see it's low, that's when I replace. Then also I just got him like a plastic shoebox, you know, like for a buck. And anything that was medicinal for him only, that went in there. So he pulls out his bin. And then if it's not in his bin, then he's like, hey, I need blah, blah, blah. And now even better, now that we're in our 50s, he now replenishes his own bins. It's fabulous because he's like, you know, the replenishment fairy is taking a long time. I'm like, you know, you have a checkbook. You have access to all of our money and all of the stores. And he's like, yeah, I do. So he just does it himself. But I have not used this. And I've been thinking about this. And you are an elementary book teacher. You know, those bins that you get, I usually get them at Walmart, but anyway, we call them book bins, and they're like 5 inches wide and they're like low in the front, but they're high in the back. So you could put books in there and you like it sort units. Those would be great under your sink because you could put shampoo bottles, you could put deodorant, you could put whatever you want in them. So they're a little bit skinnier and taller. And when they're skinnier and taller, you can get like, I don't know, 5 or 6 of those in the bottom of a cabinet, and you could like pull them out like little individual drawers to get to things that are in the back. Because when you're underneath, especially as you get older and you're opening up the cabinet, like when I was younger, I'd just be like, oh, you know, whatever. Now I'm like, oh, to bend. To bend isn't the problem, actually, to squat. To squat is much more of a problem than to bend. If I can bend, no problem. If I have to squat, I'm like, oh, it's going to be an event.
It's getting back up.
It's like, problem. Oh, well, you know what? I'll just go all the way down to crisscross applesauce and then we'll get up like we're a puppy. And then great. That's how we get back up off the floor now because I sit and record things too long all day. But those, when you're doing back to school purchasing for everyone and you see these book bins, which are primarily how teachers organize books for kids by reading level or thematic or whatever. They're great organizers. They're also great in pantries.
Yeah.
And there will be a lot of great organizers like this. That'll be, you know, a couple of bucks in the back to school time that are harder to find the rest of the year. So yeah, I like linen closets much better than under cabinet storage now. It's so much easier to open it up. And I have little drawers everywhere. Like if you're in the Productive Home Solution, you see my linen closet. I don't have these book bins that I'm talking about because that's just a new idea that I got. But the three drawer organizers, I use that a lot in the kids program too. Like they're just like these little mini drawers and they're not completely crystal clear, but they are not, you know, like solid white or whatever. Right. And I usually label them. And once you label them, it works. But the nice thing is it's a container. So like, that's a big enough container for teeth related stuff and shaving related stuff for, you know, a family of 4 or 5 or less.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So Dawn, what do you have more of now?
I have more time. So when we moved, we decluttered not just our stuff, we decluttered a house as well. Mm-hmm. So we had two homes.
Wow, you weren't kidding, like an actual whole home.
Yeah, so we had a vacation home up in Maine. It was like a mile from the beach and it was wonderful, but it was work. And we would go up, you know, on Friday nights late, and then we'd come home Sunday nights. And then we started renting it out because the kids got busy, so we couldn't go there over the summer. So we were renting it out. So I would drive up, you know, on the weekend just for the day to clean it and do the flip. And then I started getting really resentful. Like, I am cleaning this house for other people to enjoy. And it wasn't like we were making a lot of money. I mean, it was just paying, you know, it was just paying the bills. And so we had hoped to wait to move and downsize when my youngest graduated. But last year, this house came up. We're big kayakers. Every weekend we would go places and kayak. And we had said, okay, we want to downsize. We want more land. You know, we raised our kids for 20 years in the cul-de-sac and it was perfect. But we were kind of done because my husband likes toys and, you know, being the neighbors with all the junk on the lawn and the cars, and we needed space. So this house came up, which you can see behind me. I'm in my beautiful sunroom. And there's a lake right over there.
Nice.
And we're on 4.5 acres. Wow. So we didn't think we could get both. We didn't think we could get water and land. But this lake that's near us, it's run by the Army Corps of Engineers. So there's 7 miles of trails around the lake. And there's no houses on the lake, but we have access. So we said, you know what? So we got rid of both houses. They let my daughter stay at her school so she didn't have to switch schools. And it's only 20 minutes away. So it's not like we moved across the state. But it was a big decision. Like, do we sell this vacation home? You know, we didn't know what to do. Like, am I going to miss this? I mean, I can't get rid of, you know, paperwork. I'm going to get rid of a house.
Yeah.
Am I going to regret this? But then we said, you know what? We're going to have so much more time. So we sold the vacation home.
Wow.
We sold our primary residence. We moved here. The house is a little older, but we don't have a mortgage. We don't have that bill.
Wow. Congratulations.
We're home every weekend. You know, we just pull our kayaks down the hill and we kayak here. And it's like, I have the weekends back. And, you know, we were thinking too, like we would go to our place on the weekends, but it was like, oh, we don't have time to grocery shop. So we were eating out every time we went up because we're like, oh, well, we're only here for 2 nights. Like, we're just going to eat out. So we're saving money. You know, we're not driving all over the place, sitting in traffic. And now we were here last summer. And I will say, I didn't miss it. I didn't miss the drive. We were really afraid we were going to miss it. My kids were like, we don't like the ocean anyways. I'm like, really? So, you know, they didn't like, it was a very, you know, vacation destination place. The kids didn't like going downtown. It was too loud. You know, when we would go up to kayak, we would go other places. We would never actually go downtown where the house was. So we've just had more time. And I find now at night, like I have time to do stuff. I'm like, what do I do tonight? Oh, I guess I'm just going to read or I'm going to do a puzzle.
Wow.
Like I get home and the dog and I go for a 2-mile hike. And yeah, it's just so I have more time, you know, not dealing with two houses. That was a lot. We would have to, you know, deal with the lawn and all the upkeep of not just one, but two places. And yeah, it was great, but I don't have that regret. So that's actually made it a little easier for me to get rid of other things now too, because, well, we got rid of that and I don't regret it. So I guess I can get rid of this piece of paper.
That's so interesting. My parents did have a second home in California for, I think, maybe 10 years. I'm not sure. And I remember my mom saying, like, having two houses is a lot, like it's a lot to maintain. Now, they never rented theirs out. They spent a lot of time there. So my dad owned his own business too. So he would do 10 days in Ohio, 10 days in California, 10 days in Ohio. And he's a big golfer. So like he wanted to be able to golf in California when he couldn't golf in Ohio, but he was still actively working. And I remember it was a lot of management for my mom to have the two houses. And my husband is from Florida. And his dream is that someday we would have a place in Florida as well. And I was like, no, like never going to. So his father-in-law and his mom would go to Florida for like, I think 10 weeks. They would just go for 10 weeks, like snowbirds from Ohio to Florida.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, when you really run the math of having a second home, if we were to do that, which we're nowhere near that right now, I'm just saying, you know, esoterically, like if you're to run the math when we're much older, I don't really know how beneficial actually owning the house would be. Plus, I mean, the insurance in Florida has to be ridiculous if you can even get it. And then the worry of every storm that comes in and everything. Right. I was like, Greg, just figure out how much it would cost to have a house. And then you budget that amount for whatever, you know, and we go down however many times we want. And also you can go a lot more places. Like you could go a lot of different places in Florida. You can go a lot of different places in the world. You're not locked into one place because you own this place in another state. And the other thing is like, we've lived in our house for almost 30 years now, and we have multiple times looked at houses, toyed with building a house, moving a house, whatever. And we never have. And our house that at Seasons seemed way too small. It's always been the right size once we declutter. And now we're, you know, going ahead, we put the deck on and we took all the carpet out of the first floor this year. And we just do some of those improvements. And I just keep saying to Greg, cheaper than moving. Every time I want to do something, like cheaper than moving, you know, run the credit card, cheaper than moving. And I just do, you know, the like 12 or 24 or 36 months, same as cash things. And we just continually keep improving the house that we currently live in. Someday we may sell it. I don't know. But at this point, having one house the way we want it and continually optimizing that house for the life stage that we're in versus moving to a new house or getting an additional house is every time we go through all these conversations, we come back to let's just improve the house that we're in for the phase of life that we're in now. And then if we want to go somewhere, let's just pay to go somewhere for a little bit of time and then come back to the one house that we are maintaining.
Right. Yeah. And you know what is, we had considered staying where we were, but we couldn't do what we needed to do. You know, like we're going to be adding on to the garage because my husband wants a workshop. And, you know, with aging parents, we really had to consider, you know, is there a full bathroom on the first floor? You know, could a space be converted into a bedroom? And our previous house didn't have that. So this house kind of checked all the points. So we can change it for different life phases. And one of the things that we've talked about, you know, me being a teacher, having that summer off, my husband is in the trades. He does HVAC, but I keep telling him, you know, go teach at a trade school and get the summers off. We would love to get, you know, a camper.
Yes, I want to do this.
Because then you can go anywhere and it's cheaper and you don't have to pack all your stuff. It's all right there. So
yes, my dream is to be like Dolly Parton and have that, you know, like basically mobile traveling home where I would like just sleep and I'd wake up in a new city and I'd get to meet new people and do whatever I do and then go back in and like, yes.
Yeah,
I've like gone down the rabbit trail of that. The problem in that one for me is the driver, which of course could be Greg. He's like, I don't want to drive an RV type thing. He's like, no, it's too big. But yes, I mean, that is like a dream of mine as well.
Yeah, because I will say, you know, although we had our place, we got bored with it. I mean, going to the same place and yes, it was lovely, but when we would take our family summer vacation, we didn't go there. We made sure we rented it out that week and we would Airbnb somewhere else to explore. You know, we would find a house usually on a lake that we could kayak and we would load up the truck with four kayaks and go somewhere else. So we just like to explore new places. So if we ever did anything again, first of all, we'd probably get a condo so we wouldn't have to deal with all the maintenance if we wanted to stay in one place. Or the camping might be fun, you know, with the big camper and maybe trailing that car behind it and with our kayaks on it.
Yeah. And I think that's where Greg and I have landed as well. Like as long as we still want to have a garage and a driveway and a yard for Grayson to play in and all that, we'll stay in this house. And then when we think that we need a house that is a condo or first floor suite, like you're talking about, that's when we'll actually talk about moving, which is probably another 20 years away.
Right.
And I do think a lot of us are thinking about that multi-generational living, which I just recorded a podcast on recently, like having, you know, your kids are leaving, but there may be new people moving in with different birthdays.
Right. Well, it's, and I don't know about where you are, but we're in Massachusetts and the price of houses is insane. And I don't know how young people can afford to buy a house. So we think about that, you know, well, the kids might be back home because they might not be able to afford to live anywhere. And, you know, we're commutable to Boston, so, which is where my oldest is right now for college. But yeah, the likelihood, I mean, that the kids are going to be able to afford something, right? We might need that space for the kids to come back
home. But the parents too, your parents too. Like,
exactly.
The cost of that is not inexpensive, and the maintenance of that house. And yeah, it's just a lot of variables.
Exactly.
A lot of variables.
I was talking to somebody yesterday, and her kids are all grown up. And she said, well, you know, we had, you know, they made kind of a two family home, but she said, we thought we might need it for somebody else in the family. She goes, we didn't. So we rented it out to traveling nurses. Right. And she said, they bring in a lot of good extra income from doing that. And I was like, oh, and she said they only stay for a few months at a time. And I was like, oh, well, there's an option too.
So many possibilities when you start to think about, like, I think that I thought that my life would be, you know, these building blocks, like you do this, you do this, you do this, you retire, and then you die. And now I'm like, oh, there are like so many possibilities in each phase of life. And just thinking outside of the box, it's fun. It's really fun. Yeah,
it is. So it's just, it's good. And I feel like I'm in a good place. You know, it is a little sad that the nest is going to be empty, but we're just filling it with chickens.
Oh, you're filling it with chickens. It'll be fine. It'll be so loud. Dogs. It'll be great.
And I did decide, you know, that I have more time. I got myself a summer job so that I can, you know, pay for college. But I found it is in the education field, but I will be training teachers over the summer on with a publishing company and training teachers in a specific reading program. So it will, I'm not too sure all the details yet, but I might be doing some on Zoom. I might be doing some traveling, but I said, you know, why not? You know?
Yeah. Why not?
Because the kids aren't going to be here this summer. Well, yeah. I mean, they'll both be working and, you know, my oldest is staying in Boston. So I was like, you know what? I need to find some extra income to help pay for college. And I need to do something for me. And I've never traveled alone. So it's kind of a exciting little thing. Yeah. So it'll be a good professional challenge.
It's so fun.
But personal travel challenge too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like I finally have, I'm in a good place. So I have the time to do that. Like, I can have things set up here if I need to be away for a few days. Yeah.
Is there anything you wish you had known sooner?
I think more that, you know, it's not that hard to get rid of stuff. I think, you know, seeing in my family how everything was held onto, I really just thought I had to do that. You know, and I kept a lot of my own kids' things and I store them in bins. I tell myself, as long as I have the space and I can store them safely so that they're not ruined, I'm allowed to do that. But what I do is I date my bins. Even like the clothes that don't fit me anymore that I say I'm going to get back into. So I write the date on them and then I'll be like, well, when we moved, it was like, whoa, I haven't looked at these clothes in 10 years. Oh, I am not going to wear that again. You know, even if I fit into it, I'm never going to put that on. And it was easier to get rid of things. You know, some of the kids' clothes I had saved, they were stained because when they were in a hot attic, some of those stains that weren't visible when I stored them, you know, appeared. So I had to get rid of a lot of stuff and things weren't as sentimental as they were when I stored them.
Packed them up. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, why did I save all this stuff? And I thought that I would have a lot more regrets about getting rid of stuff or that I wouldn't remember certain things. But I guess I'm fortunate in the fact that I do have a very good visual memory and I remember a lot of stuff. And even as time has passed, I've gotten rid of things. I'm like, oh, well, I still have that visual memory. So I wish maybe I had gotten rid of stuff a lot sooner. I still have a ways to go, but it's hidden, like it's in the basement. It's it's out of everybody's way. We can walk in the basement. They're in bins. They're sorted. And I just go through a bin here and there when I feel the need.
That's great. What advice would you give to somebody who's just starting out on their organizing journey?
Baby steps. You know, and to just do something, even if it's just reading a book or listening to podcasts or making a list, you know, that passive organizing. I mean, because I think that gives you the motivation and kind of helps you make a plan in your head. And even if it's just 15 minutes a day, like this week, you know, being on vacation, I'm like, oh, I should be doing so much more. But, you know, I took a half hour, I set a timer, and I did my bathroom closet. And I was like, oh, that really only took a half hour. Like, my husband was like, wow, I thought that was going to take you all night. But
yeah,
things don't take as long as you would think they do. And I'm a big timer person. When I was taking that classroom management course, I had read something about the Pomodoro method.
Yeah.
Where you know, so I tend to set a timer for 15 to 20 minutes and then I'll, you know, take a break, do something, take a walk, check my phone. So I try to give myself little rewards and not beat myself up so much if I don't get something done. You know, we're leaving tomorrow to go look at some colleges. We are actually going to Ohio tomorrow.
Ooh, we've got a lot of good colleges in Ohio. A lot of colleges.
We're going to check out Oberlin. So,
oh, I like Oberlin. Yes. Yeah, I've been there.
So, but I, you know, I'm not going to beat myself up when Sunday comes and say, well, you know what, I didn't get anything done this week on vacation. Because the stuff will still be there and I'll still be in a good place. So yeah, I think that's the advice I would give, that just take things one step at a time. Don't be too hard on yourself.
Great. Because
it's very easy to get down on yourself and criticize like what you haven't done. So,
right.
And it's different, right. And it's different for everybody. You know, it's definitely hard when you look at all the perfect things online, and it's not going to work that way for everyone. You know, that simple thing yesterday of realizing, hey, you know, I don't have to keep all of these things sorted by the type of item in the closet. You know, I can mix it up a little bit. And I know I believe you've talked about, you know, having multiple items of things. There was one of your podcasts about extra supplies. And yes, I've been making sure I have scissors in certain places or a hole puncher where I'm going to do things. And if I'm doing things in multiple spaces, because that just makes life a little bit easier. And it might seem weird to have certain items in a, like when I was thinking when my kids were little, I used to keep nail clippers in the car because the only time I could clip my daughter's nails was when she fell asleep in the car seat. But you would never think to put those things in certain spaces, but you have to put things where they make sense for you and where you're more likely to do them.
Yeah. Agreed. I was thinking, well, just clip them all every time you're sitting there at the baseball game. Like, all right, get in line. I didn't think about falling asleep in the car seat. I'm going to put that in my head because I was noticing Grayson's little nails are getting a little bit long. I was like, how are we going to get these cut? So now you've given me a good solution.
Just like I also keep tweezers in the car for.
Yeah. Yeah, you notice when you need those when you're driving? Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Dawn, this was great. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Well, thank you. It was great to be on, and I'm excited.
I've learned a lot from you.
And so I'm going to keep going.
Good. And other people should share their story on the Wednesday podcast too, right?
Absolutely. I know, because I was like, oh, well, you know, I don't really have any great things to share, but I'm just, you know, it works. So.
Yes. Yes, I need everyone to apply. Thanks, Dawn.
All right. Thank you.